the war on terror is about to generate a lot more paperwork. That's because the Supreme Court earlier this week ruled that enemy combatants and prisoners held at Guantanamo Bay do have the right to be heard in court. For American troops, that's going to mean a number of changes on the ground in Iraq and Afghanistan. Among other things, detentions may have to be better documented in case they're challenged in court. Joining us is Phil Carter. He's a former Army officer. He writes on military and legal matters for Slate. Hello again, Phil.
Hi, Alex.
We're not saying here that U.S. soldiers are going to start reading insurgents the Miranda warning, are we?
No, we're probably not saying that. What we're saying is that they have to document the circumstances of capture a little bit better. Right now, they essentially fill out a 3x5 card with a little bit of information, and the court made clear that that's not going to be enough if these detainees go to court to file for their release.
Well, what are they going to have to say?
They're probably going to have to say what the detainee was doing, what they were carrying in the way of weapons, whether they were with a specific kind of unit, for example, a Taliban unit versus an Al-Qaeda unit, and what types of people they were with when they were captured.
I think in your article, what really strikes me is that it may not be possible for the administration to say, we're going to hold these guys indefinitely because they're terrorists and we need to gather information from them. We need to be able to interrogate them at will. That's no longer possible, you're right.
No, that's right. The administration said it needed to detain enemy combatants at Guantanamo and also U.S. citizens like Yasser Hamdi and Jose Padilla because it needed to squeeze them for intelligence. The Supreme Court said that reason is not good enough. It may have left the door open for a temporary detention for intelligence reasons, but indefinite detention is clearly off the table.
So what does that mean if you're, well, what does it mean if you're captured as a prisoner? And what does it mean if you're the U.S. military and you have to decide how long you can hold these guys?
It probably means the military can continue to do what it's doing in the field. That is, it can pick up prisoners in Iraq and Afghanistan and bring them into a holding facility and then eventually to someplace like Guantanamo. At Guantanamo, there may have to be some changes about how long prisoners are kept, how they're interrogated, and whether they're eventually released or given some sort of a trial like the military tribunals now going forward.
And the other question is access to counsel. These guys are entitled to lawyers in some case.
Yeah, the Supreme Court wasn't exactly clear on that point. They said that the detainees at Guantanamo, those non-U.S. citizens held there, get access to U.S. courts to challenge their detention. But they didn't say whether they get immediate physical access to counsel, that is, their families or their countries or other persons may challenge on their behalf.
As you write in your piece, the administration's lawyers argued in court that these interrogations are going on, and if you insert a lawyer for these prisoners into that process, the administration argues that this is going to alter the whole nature of the interrogation. The interrogation is not going to be very effective after that.
I think the Pentagon's right here that the way they're interrogating these prisoners depends on the psychological seclusion of these people. And if you allow physical access to counsel, then presumably the lawyers are going to tell them not to talk.
And you're saying, nonetheless, the court has said, well, that's what we have to do because we're in the United States and that's the Constitution and that's what we say.
That's right. And, you know, there's a great analogy here between what the court said in its famous Miranda decision and what it's doing now. Before Miranda, police agencies screamed that they wouldn't be able to gather information either if they had to read the Miranda warning.
Is the military going to have to tell them that, hey, you're being held prisoner, we captured you on the battlefield, and you have the right to a lawyer?
I don't think so. Certainly that's not in the Supreme Court cases. It may come in a later challenge to these detentions that the prisoners have to be warned of some rights, but that specific point didn't come out in any Monday's decisions.
So at least for the time being, these enemy combatant detainees may have the right to a lawyer, but the military doesn't necessarily have to tell them so.
That's right, and it's not clear yet what type of procedure is going to be required for these detainees in order to challenge their detention. The Pentagon wants to move forward with some sort of an executive determination. The courts, on the other hand, may say that this can only be done in regular federal court. That's still an open question.
Philip Carter writes on military affairs for Slate. You'll find his article on the impact of this week's rulings at slate.com. Philip, thanks again.
Thanks, Alex.